India's rapidly evolving business landscape, staying ahead of the competition requires more than just keeping up with industry trends. It demands innovation and agility. Now, one of the most transformative tools available today in generative AI, a technology that not only enhances efficiency, but also unlocks new possibilities across various business functions. Generative AI is becoming an essential component for companies large and small aiming to maintain their competitive edge. Hello everyone, welcome to the Analytics Insight podcast where we talk about the ever-evolving tech space, and I'm your host Priya Dealani. Now, generative AI, as we all know, can produce content, design, strategies and even complex decisions based on data patterns and user text prompts is no longer just a concept. It's more like a present-day necessity. Businesses that leverage generative AI can rapidly adapt to market changes, streamline operations, and innovate in ways that were previously unimaginable. From mid-level managers and senior personnel, the question is not if they should adopt AI for their employees, but how soon they can implement it to stay relevant in their AI adoption journey. So let's welcome Rahul Sharma, AVP Platform Service Cloud Slack, to talk about the evolving role of Gen AI and how organizations can integrate it successfully. Hi Rahul, how are you doing?
Hi Priya, thank you for having me. Pleasure talking to you today.
Great. Likewise, it's a pleasure to have you with us today on our podcast. And definitely while we would, you know, dive deeper into some critical aspects discussing the role of generative AI, we would first like to know more about Slack. I mean, I'm sure our listeners know about Slack, but if you could just brief up about Slack more and, you know, its core specialization or how the company or the platform has evolved till date would be great.
Absolutely. And a great question to start with. You know, Slack started off about 10 years back. Interestingly, Slack was originally, in its original avatar, we were trying to make a gaming company. And all of our co-founders who were developing that online gaming platform built a technology which they used internally to collaborate and communicate with each other. And that sort of became the foundation of what today we know as Slack. And the way we like to think about Slack is that it's the operating system for an organization. And why we say that is that if you think about organizations, they use various kinds of technologies in their workspace every day. All of their employees use that across the organization. But they end up using these technologies in a very disconnected, siloed way. So the way we imagine Slack is to be a system of engagement with all of the technologies that an organization uses. And that becomes the reason why it is a operating system for a workplace. So the short summary, that's an introduction to Slack, but happy to dive into if you have any questions specific around the technology or the product.
Great. Thank you for sharing those insights, Rahul. I would, of course, want to dive deeper, but I want to dive deeper, into your role and how has the journey been till date. So if you could help our listeners understand, you know, what's the exact role and contribution towards Slack. And of course, more about yourself, how has the journey been till date and, you know, what triggered your interest in Slack?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, personally, I've been a Slack user for over 8 years now. And in my previous organizations, we used Slack very heavily. So when the role for the country manager, for the first country manager for Slack opened up in India, I dived into it with both my feet because I'm sort of a big user of Slack, as well as I like to think in some form or fashion, a little bit of an expert. So when this role opened up, it basically was to launch Slack as a technology market. We already had millions of free users using Slack in India. And my job was to set up the operations for the organization. And that was just before Slack got acquired by Salesforce. So for a little over a 3 years journey. In my current role, with expanded responsibilities, I also handled two other product portfolios for Salesforce, that is Service Cloud. Think about Service Cloud to be the CRM for service. You know, Salesforce is better known as a sales CRM quite popularly. But what's little known about service as a CRM is that it's our biggest cloud globally in terms of revenue. And my third product is core platform for Salesforce. That's where most of our technology has got built out. So that's my current role. My team sort of works closely with all of our go-to-market functions, advising customers on how best they can use Salesforce's technology to innovate, to grow their businesses, to help them build on this journey of CRM plus data plus AI plus trust.
Great. Thank you for helping us understand about the different products and platforms that you're looking into. And definitely quite a fantastic journey, I must say. Moving ahead, I think I came across a recent Salesforce report that is based on a survey of 300 plus C-suite leaders across India. So that report reveals a strong consensus on the transformative power of generative AI for business success. So can you tell us more, about some key findings about this new report? And I'm sure our listeners would be keen to know about them.
Yes, absolutely. And, I go back to your opening comment when you made on the podcast around it's not about when to use AI. It's becoming on how you're going to be using, right? So if you look at the current situation, this report actually ends up being sort of like a wake-up call for businesses who are striving to stay competitive in this age of transformation. But it's to start with the leadership of an organization. I think leadership sets the course for any organization. And AI is really redefining the priorities for leadership. It's reshaping how organizations are thinking about the culture that they build, the future where they will have AI as a natural extension for their decision making, and it's becoming a strategic imperative. If you see one of the stats that comes out of the report, strikingly, about 99% of Indian leaders they acknowledge that AI is playing a pivotal role in their business strategies. And over the next 3 years, this trend is going to be extremely important to bring in every element of your workspace, right? There are about 60% of these leaders who already have a strategy in place, and they're getting into action, which to my mind is no longer an option for any businesses. And driving forces behind these adoptions is coming from the market. We all use certain kinds of AI technologies in our personal lives, and that is driving customer expectations on what they can expect the brands that they're dealing with, the businesses that they're dealing with, to give them a experience around AI. Not just that, it enhances an organization's ability multifold. It addresses demands both from employees, and the customers in an ever-changing environment. But as leaders, we must always remember that the real competitive edge lies in orchestrating this these benefits cohesively, right? It's about ensuring that, fundamentally, you enhance the experience for both your customers and employees by use of these technologies. So that's something how we think about what this report is telling us through the survey.
That's pretty fascinating. And, it's great to hear how generative AI is making such a significant impact. And, of course, I think our listeners can draw their specific strategies and kind of take these key aways, because that can help them to, scale up their business and effectively deploy generative AI platforms and solutions. And that's right. When we're talking about, AI, I think, it's everybody knows, and I'm not here to debunk any myth here, but it's important to remember that automation is not just about replacing human jobs. It's more about enhancing human potential. So the roles that will thrive in the future are those that leverage human strengths, like creativity, critical thinking, emotional intelligence, and of course, leadership. I have seen how reskilling and upskilling initiatives can drive significant impact, not just for businesses, but also for individuals alike. And it's important that we equip our workforce with the skills that are needed to adapt to the new realities that we're living in right now. Because jobs will evolve. And that way, I think the professions and should also need to embrace this evolution. So AI is not here to take away opportunities. Rather, it presents a more powerful opportunity for us to focus on what we do best, like probably being innovative, empathetic, and even strategic. So while we, businesses and organizations are trying to adopt these AI-powered platforms, how do you think these platforms are redefining the future of work?
Yeah, I think that's a very, very important question today, because a lot of decisions that leaders will end up making is around this, right? So the way we want to think about is that, you know, we at Salesforce, we consider ourselves to be customer zero, which means that when we build a technology, we are a large-scale enterprise with thousands of employees working globally. We want to test that that technology internally. So I'm going to give you a few examples of how we are going about doing it from an employee reskilling perspective, right? Summer of this year, we announced something called as the Employee 360. This is our way to bring in our AI technology into an employee experience that we will want to provide to all of the 80,000 employees for Salesforce globally, right? This is bringing in data and actions to complete employee-related activities that happen, you know, on a daily basis, on a monthly basis, on a quarterly basis. Like, for example, we have this whole concept around quarterly check-ins where we sit down with each and every member of our teams and talk to them about how their work has been in the previous quarter, what are they focusing on going on doing for the next quarter, and so on and so forth. So now with Employee 360, all of this generation of the data by use of our own technology happens through generative AI. And when we come together, having that conversation with the employees, the data is already there for us to start discussion on, right? Similarly, we're using this for development programs. So if employees identify areas that they want to personally start development or skilling themselves on, the AI technology provides them a path by which they can upskill themselves on an idea on an identified area of a skill set, right? And so on and so forth. There are a lot of examples that I can give you around. You know, we launched something called as a Career Connect, which is an AI-powered internal marketplace, which helps employees gain newer experience, find mentorship opportunities, and so on and so forth. The reason why I'm bringing this in is that every organization will use AI significantly differently for their own workplace, right? And that's, as leaders, what we have to start thinking about. It's not about how we're going to be doing it. If you look at most of the leaders, they will have to start thinking about, the conversation needs to shift from how does AI work to what it enables and what it enables in my business or my workplace. And the winners in this space won't be the ones who are the fastest adopters to the technology. The winners in this space will be the ones who are the most deliberate innovators. Those who align AI with the vision that is for their organization, which is far more connected, far more human-centric, and far more, far more scalable inside for their businesses. I hope that gives you a perspective of how the modern workplace will shape up.
Yeah, I think that's very important. And thank you for, sharing some of the initiatives that we have taken up at the respective organization in terms of how we can, the entire work, the changing at times with the introduction of AI and how it's kind of changing the way we work and live. So, and it kind of also focuses on how companies should prioritize on certain things to prepare their workforce for these upcoming changes. Moving ahead, I think the rise of new generative AI technology is democratizing innovation and also allowing medium businesses to compete on a more level playing field. I mean, since generative AI can take much of the repetitive and sometimes even menial tasks across a fully connected suite of products, small, medium size business teams can suddenly have more time for strategic thinking and high value work, like connecting with their prospects and customers. So as a result, it can move as fast or even faster than large companies while dramatically improving their customer experience as well. So I want to understand from you, Rahul, how do you think that, you know, these small and medium-sized businesses in India are adopting AI-powered platforms for their work?
I think, you know, if you look at the journey of businesses, there used to be a time when size was a very big competitive advantage. The bigger the organization, the better they had the resources at their disposal to be able to leverage market opportunities and so forth, so on and so forth. But if anything, technology has, in the last at least decade and a half, has proved that size no longer remains as a unique business advantage. It's the speed at which you can innovate. It's the speed at which we can solve problems. It's the speed at which you bring in innovation to the market that helps you differentiate yourself. And that's where I think the medium-sized businesses or the small-sized businesses have a very distinct advantage. Their speed to be able to innovate, their speed to be able to go to market. And, you know, all of these technologies that we spoke about, especially generative AI, that just accelerate the speed at which they already operate. These organizations already operate. You know, the driving force will be, how do you meet the customer's expectation? How do you enhance efficiency and productivity within the organization, outside the organization? How do you address demands that are coming out from not just the customers that you serve, but also your employees? You will be able to attract the best talent if the talent recognizes you as a workplace which is using cutting-edge technology. And that's true for any business, right? So I think fundamentally the adoption of any kind of a new age technology within a small and medium business enterprise is at a faster space. And that gives them the distinct advantage of being first to market, first to innovate, first to use technology. And that becomes their key USP.
Very well said. And I completely agree with that, Rahul, that I think size isn't just like a differentiating factor in terms of how you're growing. But of course, how fast and quickly you can adopt these innovative changes and deploy them successfully is something that can define your success. And of course, how you maintain an edge in an AI-driven era world, I must say. I would like to shift the gears towards Slack and Salesforce. I think Slack has 12 million daily active users with 156,000 organizations. Have kind of subscribed to the app, which almost equals the total number of Salesforce clients. Now, among the top Slack customers are industry giants like IBM, Amazon, PayPal, and Airbnb, and I think the list goes on. Now, no wonder it is one of the most requested tools for Salesforce integration. So initially, you mentioned about, you know, one of the platforms or the integration that you take care of is with the Slack's integration with Salesforce. So can you highlight more on this integration, and how do you think that this integration has helped Salesforce in having an edge?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's take Sales Cloud, which is the Salesforce's pioneer product, the flagship product, right? So as we know, Sales Cloud is used by millions of sellers, millions of sales leaders, and hundreds of business leaders to manage customer relationships, manage sales cycles, manage account plans, manage deals, how they are structured and run across various businesses, right? So for a salesperson to use the Sales Cloud effectively, they necessarily have to live on the Salesforce Sales Cloud platform. So if they have a customer meeting that they're preparing for, they go into the account details, find out a summary of the background of the work that has happened out there, bring in intelligence and information from their colleagues into that place, and then go in for a meeting, right? What Slack does with the integration with Sales Cloud is bring that into an environment wherever they are working. So the deep integration that Sales Cloud has with Slack allows for the sellers to be able to use Slack to update opportunities, contacts, meeting notes, bring in account summaries, create account profiles, create any kind of other records that you would necessarily have to log into a Sales Cloud to do so from right within Slack. Imagine yourself being a person who's just come out of a customer meeting, and you know that if you do a few things that the customer asks you from that meeting, you would be in a position to win that opportunity. Now, to update that, you would necessarily have to, in the real environment, you would need to log into your Sales Cloud to be able to update our opportunity. But with deep integration with Slack, all you need to do is pull out your phone, open your Slack, go to the account channel, and just update the opportunity from right there. So that's just one example of it. Like that, Slack is now integrated with almost all of the product portfolios that Salesforce has. Case in point, let's say Service Cloud, which is the service CRM. Service is probably the most complex job at the frontline level, where you are dealing with customers who are facing real-time issues, customers who have very less patience to be able to hold on to a voice conversation or wait for the agent to find the right kind of resources to solve their problem, because they're in an emergency situation. And with the integration of Slack into Service Cloud, what the service agent now has the ability is to bring in expertise from anywhere across the globe inside their organization, who can come and join them and address a specific customer issue in real time. From there to products like Tableau, which is the business analytics and intelligence portfolio product that we have, gets integrated inside of Slack. So you're not going and experiencing these products by logging into them. With all of these deep integrations coming into your workplace, into your Slack workspace, you can almost do pretty much everything in the flow of work that you have, right? So those are just few examples of how Slack's technology integrated inside of Salesforce is making work life improved for millions of workers globally.
That's really interesting. And I think Slack's integration with Salesforce seems more like a game changer for businesses looking to streamline workforce and even enhance collaboration. And I think our listeners would definitely like to explore this further, and probably they can learn more about this and ensure that they're trying to implement them in their respective organizations. I think when we're talking about generative AI or AI as a whole technology, I think despite its advantages, the journey to successful AI integration can be pretty much daunting, because I've come across numerous studies that say that while people or business leaders are keen and curious or probably more than excited to deploy these solutions, most of these AI projects fail. Now, I mean, we understand that adopting AI comes with challenges like data privacy or integration with legacy systems, and I guess the need for ongoing management and support. So there are a lot of factors that we need to consider before deploying AI solutions for a particular or a specific operation or a task or a particular goal, I would say. So what are some key elements do you think that organizations should consider in the generative AI strategy?
Yeah, this is such an important question. Thank you for asking this, because I mean, at Salesforce, we truly believe that there is no company better positioned to help organizations realize the promise of AI as much as Salesforce is. Not because we've been investing in artificial intelligence as a technology for over a decade now, but with the launch of we recently launched something called as Agentforce. And Agentforce, to my mind, represents the next evolution of the generative AI technology. You remember the time when there was an Apple ad which says, there is an app for this? You think about anything and there could have been an app for it. And it's a pretty iconic ad. But I think the era has shifted from there's an app for this to now there's an agent for this. And your question, which you asked, why it's important, is because a lot of organizations are looking at AI as a technology, which is going to be a complicated technology and probably will require deep understanding of technology to be able to unlock that, right? So what we are bringing onto the table with Agentforce is for a customer, doesn't matter whether they are a technology leader inside an organization or a business leader or a finance leader or a human resource leader or a customer success leader, we want to give the ability for you to be able to create an agent for yourself within your work. And that's the primary differentiator of what Agentforce does. Now, Agentforce is an agentic layer if I would say, on the Salesforce platform. And it helps deploying autonomous agents across any business function. It's not complicated when it comes to a technology. So even a business user can create an agent for themselves. Like, for example, you know, I was giving you this example of the Sales Cloud integration with Slack. Guess what? Agentforce is natively integrated inside of Slack. So now you can create an agent as a seller who could go and update customer quotes on your behalf. You can trigger actions off of just having a agent specifically designed for that. And you don't require IT to come and do it for you. You can just sit on your Slack workspace, look at pulling out an agent, get that agent to do very specific tasks for you, and deploy them, right? And it just goes beyond chatbots, co-pilots. It uses advanced reasoning abilities to make decisions on your behalf and take actions on your behalf. So this whole shift from AI as a technology is a game changer. Now let me try and understand this. Let me bring in my technology leaders to deploy this in an organization is all completely changing away because of Agentforce. Agentforce brings the ability for you to for a knowledge worker to be able to create agent for themselves in any space that they exist. And I think that is going to be the biggest differentiator in how organizations can start using, getting value from the Agent Plus platform or generative AI platform.
Right, definitely. I agree with you, Rahul. And I think those were some great insights into what makes a solid generative AI strategy. And I think AI is clearly transforming how we approach everything from sales to customer engagement. And I'm really glad and excited to hear about how tools like Salesforce, Agentforce can, you know, help drive this change forward. I think eventually in this era of workforce transformation, I think I envision a future where technology and humanity can definitely thrive together. So it's not about choosing between AI and people. It's about fostering a world where both can coexist and complement each other. So having said that, one last question for you, Rahul. How do you see the future of generative AI and workspace?
Yeah, if I was to give you an analogy, let's imagine a situation where human beings are at the forefront of interactions, and they lean on technology for you to be able to get answers. So let me give you an example. If I had a problem with my mobile operator, I would call up a call center and more often than not talk to a human being about the problem that I'm facing. And that human being would then rely on the technology to be able to find a solution and give me that solution, right, for resolving my issue. Now, I call this situation to be human-led, technology-assisted situation. And I think what generative AI does is just flip this over its head. So it becomes from human-led, technology-assisted to a technology-led, human-assisted world. So the next time you interact with, in a similar situation, you probably end up talking to or reaching out to a voice bot who would understand your problem and give you a solution to it. If the voice bot isn't able to do that themselves, then probably use a human to come in and provide support for a problem that wouldn't have been solved. Now imagine with millions of interactions happening in this way, we'll take away the ability for humans to do repetitive mundane work to actually humans to do what you were calling earlier in your start of the podcast, is more creative, more human-required work, rather than, you know, applying ourselves to every meaningless task that exists.
Right, and I think we have an opportunity to build a workforce that is not only skilled in AI, but also one that remains true to human values of creativity and collaboration. And I think as we look ahead, I believe our focus should be on equipping people with the skills to succeed in an AI-driven world, where ensuring that technology serves humanity and not the other way around. Absolutely. And I think the future of work, you know, belongs to those who are willing to adapt, learn, and even innovate. So together, I think through an human AI collaboration, we can create a world where technology empowers us to achieve greater high, improve lives, and even drive meaningful change across industries and communities overall. Well, thank you so much, Rahul. It was a pleasure having you with us on a podcast today. And I think it was a very interesting conversation where you helped us gain different perspectives around generative AI, how's the future of work, and what are certain things that both employees, professionals, and even organizations should do in order to have an edge in the market and as well as be prepared for the future scenarios to come.
Thank you for having me on this podcast, Priya. It was a real pleasure talking to you.
Great. Thank you so much, Rahul. So this is for our listeners. Stay tuned for upcoming podcasts, and you can view all our previous podcasts on Spotify and other leading platforms. Thank you so much.